back here at Disrupt Ed with Martin Rand, the CEO of Pactum AI, talking about this intriguing world where AI has arrived on the scene and they've established a chatbot and they're actually negotiating on behalf of large-scale suppliers and buyers and really disrupting the procurement system and the procurement ecosystem in a big, big way. So, Martin, welcome back. You know, I want to ask now, you know, a lot of our viewers and listeners are going to be intrigued and are probably going to geek out as much as I am about how fascinating this is that you've been able to take. I mean, you're taking reams and reams of data in order to make these use cases work with a company. So that in and of itself is pretty mesmerizing. But now, you know, now you have an opportunity to help us understand better how is this going to affect the workforce over the next decade. Okay, so now you have chatbots performing a very sophisticated function. Does this eliminate the need for procurement specialists, or does it increase the opportunities? Where do you stand on this? Is this going to be a net positive or a net negative, or maybe just neutral in terms of the workforce and people doing these jobs?
So the work is going to change undoubtedly, but it's going to change towards the positive. What people don't like to do is tedious jobs that they feel that a machine could really do, but such a machine doesn't exist, so they have to do it. What every procurement professional would like to do is have detailed strategic negotiations where they have to really put their mind and all of their experience into work to come up with a good out-of-the-box deal, which nobody was thinking before, and bring innovation to the company with that. Think along with their business counterparts on what does the enterprise need to grow and what do they need to bring in. So this is what procurement professionals like to do. They don't like to deal with sourcing events for low dollar spend on important purchases which could be automated. But if you think about it, and what I've seen is that I'm really, really proud of our customers and the procurement professionals, the everyday heroes who are working with us, because it takes a leap of faith to do this. So suddenly you have to put your own name on the line to take the most sensitive data of a major Fortune 500, give it to an autonomous bot and say, hey, you run with it. So it takes this leap of faith. This is the first change that they have to do. The second change is that now, as you mentioned, the work of these people starts changing. So before, they were, if I bring an aviation analogy, they were flying the plane. They were... working on purchase requisitions and sourcing events and renegotiating one-off contracts every day. Now it becomes a matter of configuring the autopilot rather than flying the plane. It becomes a matter of you need to know where you're heading and how to configure the system that you end up there in the most efficient way. And that means you need to know what you want. You need to know what the enterprise wants. But it's amazing how difficult it is to know what you want. So we are asking our customers, the procurement professionals, hey, like, would you exchange 45 additional payment days with $300,000 of marketing allowance? They have no idea. They haven't thought about this way. They haven't thought about this way that everything can be negotiated for everything else. And that's how value is created, such trades. And that's how the bot is creating those values. So I'm really proud of the people that take this leap of faith and they upskill themselves to go on a new level of value creation.
Right. So what you're really saying, if I understand it correctly, is that these people that are the superheroes out there in the world of procurement are actually allowing, by embracing this change, they're actually allowing themselves to take their game way up. So their focus, as I understand it, would be more on big strategic suppliers, and they would delegate the smaller deals and the smaller supply chain issues to the bot to take care of. And so their overall portfolio is expanding and increasing and doing better, but they're focusing on the more sophisticated negotiations that are required. I would also imagine that as they're doing that, they're having to think more deeply about the company, that some of these folks with a lot of experience may in fact be on autopilot. You've been a purchasing agent for many, many years, and you're doing things a certain way, and it's easier to just continue to do it. So, you know, what is the spark that initiates someone listening to your spiel about how you can improve the supply chain and these negotiations? How do you get someone to be able to take that broad leap of faith? Because that to me is a big sell in and of itself.
I think that what people outside, what the leaders of enterprises outside procurement teams often think is that, oh, the procurement team is a team who needs to get us discounts, who needs to get us lower cost. But everyone who works in the procurement team knows that the best place to bring innovation into the company is through the stuff you buy, through procurement. And every procurement person wants to already instinctively bring themselves to this higher level of value creation, to become more strategic for the company, to become more important for the direction of the company. So the problem was that such technology wasn't available before. Now, it is possible to automate procurement processes, not creating a lot of disruption, because it's the automation is done through integration to their existing systems, and they go for it. Every procurement person has thought about this numerous times.
Right. Now, when you're using the chatbot to establish these negotiations, is there at any point where a human intervention is required, or is it the entire procurement process in that case is handled by the bot? Or does it get, you know, do you sort of mix it up where at a certain point you need some human input?
There can be cases where human input is required, and we can build a human in the loop structure to handle that. But then we try to automate it out to make sure that if this situation happens again, then it is handled automatically. I've said many times before that our first customer was Walmart, the largest enterprise in the world by revenue at that time, and they told us, hey, we cannot hire an army of new people to monitor what you do or to build a human in the loop in every such negotiation. So you need to figure out a way how to make sure that every deal is good for both sides. And that's what we did. It is, and our negotiations are based on an algorithm, which we call the value function. And it's math. So we can agree all the boundaries and rules of the negotiation in one equation that we print in the contract, and so there is no ambiguity around that.
That makes a lot of sense. In the case of Walmart, I have a little mini example. You know, in the case of education, I was negotiating an agreement with Walmart to bring a high school diploma program to their upskilling program and to incorporate it into their HR process. And we were introduced firsthand to the entire community of procurement people that line the halls of this one big facility. And you get into, you know, you're in this big facility, but you get into this very tiny room and there are these people negotiating all these little things. So you're creating a better case scenario for those folks to be able to do more than just simply, you know, what I'm fascinated by is when you can really establish value beyond discounts and beyond price, because a lot of suppliers do offer value that will create additional value in your case. And so that gets overlooked if there's an overemphasis on discounting. And I know that's from firsthand experience. My best friend was until he recently retired, a purchasing agent for an automotive firm for over 30 years. And what he saw over that period of time was, you know, intense pressure around bringing costs down to the point where certain suppliers just simply said, you know, we're not working with you guys. You're making it too difficult. And that would be an example in your scenario where value wasn't created. You know, no one was looking at the value that was created. And as a consequence, the partnership kind of fails in that sense, doesn't it?
Correct. So they were focused on value claiming rather than value creation. You need to start from value creation. That's the stuff that they teach in Harvard program on negotiation, but most people don't realize. Most people think about it in a way that I know what I want, and the most important thing that I want is price, so I'll begin the discussion from the price. But actually, if you do that, you just clash, because that's a distributive negotiation term, as we call it. The other one wants exactly the opposite, the other party. You should begin from brainstorming what are the interests and the growth opportunities for both sides. And if you brought an example of the automotive industry, then the parts that the suppliers deliver can be extremely numerous and extremely complicated. Probably the amount of parts that the supplier manufactures is a lot larger than this particular customer is buying. So they could start selling into manufacturing facilities in a new geography, or they could start selling an entirely new product line that they are not selling right now. And this is what people simply don't have time for, because procurement teams have been cut very, very thin, quite often because the leadership sees the procurement team as a cost-cutting team, which it's not.
Right. I think that's probably the most fascinating part, is that as we're listening to your story unfold, Martin, about the work that Pactum's doing, what we're seeing here is, in effect, what we need to keep reminding our audience of, and we need to keep reminding ourselves of, is that AI is not going to whack and hack out a lot of people in terms of work. It's really just going to, A, change the nature of work as you're describing it, and B, it's also going to take individuals' games up as they learn new skills, and skills ostensibly that they may find more valuable in terms of their own self-development. As you were mentioning earlier, you know, if you're dealing with a whole lot of tedious things and a machine that you think a machine can do, but the machine doesn't exist, you end up doing those things with relative little satisfaction. But if you're asked to take on a big project and to negotiate more complex terms and think about more and different things, that invokes a whole different side of your brain and a whole different side of your own development and skills. So that's the fascinating part of workforce in an AI invested world. So, Martin, as we wrap up this episode, what last minute thoughts do you want to share with the audience about what the future looks like in an AI impacted world of procurement?
I would just say that let's use all the tools available to us to refocus our thinking from value claiming to value creation. And it'll be good for our careers. It'll be good for the enterprise. It'll be good for everyone, because eventually we can raise the world's GDP by that.
Fantastic. Listeners and viewers, you've been sharing with Martin Rand, the CEO of Pactum, talking about AI, which is here, which is now, and which is completely disrupting the world of procurement as we know it. Thank you, Martin, for joining us. I'm going to ask you to come back because I want to hear more in episode 3 about the power of negotiation and some of the insights that you gleaned from going to Harvard's School on Negotiation. So until then, Martin, thank you so much for making time available for this very important discussion. And to our listening and viewing audience, get disrupted with us, okay? Engage with us, share your comments, share your feedback with Martin and myself, share our podcast. And until next time, this has been another episode of Disrupt Ed. Thank you, everyone.